Welcome to the 5-Year You Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow? Hey, Five Tribe, welcome back. Today's episode is called 5 Things That Will Make You Wealthy, and there's going to be some stuff in here that you probably haven't thought about before. I'm Andrew, and always with me is Kat. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm excited about this episode.
Yeah, it's a money episode, but it's also a little more all-encompassing. It kind of blends the 5-year you stuff with the money stuff, which is right up our alley. So I think when it comes to wealth, I think we need to make that distinction between what is wealth and what is being rich. And I think being rich to me is having a lot of money, whereas being wealthy is much more juicier and well-rounded and so much tastier.
Juicier?
Yeah, wow. It's like, it is though, right? Like, rich is just this linear thing where it's like, I have more money. And most of us think that way. And we've all thought that way where we think, okay, if I have more money, then my problems get solved. But, you know, more money, more problems. So that's not really how it goes all the time. We are hinging our whole life and expectations on someday when I have this, I will feel differently. And that's not what true wealth is. So what's your definition of rich to wealthy? How would you define it if it's not juicy?
Juicy wasn't the first words that came to mind. But welcome to our PG-13 show. Anyways, I define wealth as freedom. Always have. It's one of the reasons I became self-employed 11 years ago. And so to me, it hasn't exactly been a number, but the freedom of choice, deciding how I want to design each of my days, has been a primary driver for me in the life that I've built. And we were actually talking about this yesterday offline, but I feel like had I gone a more traditional path, I would have been richer dollars wise. Had I had an employer match, had I had someone else that wasn't me paying for my health insurance in America, all these different things, my numbers might be different, but I would not have the time freedom that I have. So when we're talking about 5 ways to get wealthy, the first thing that we recommend people do is define what it means to you. Because even though it means freedom to me, to somebody else, it might mean having a $250,000 a year job and taking super nice vacations that might make them feel wealthy. So each person is different. There's nothing right or wrong. But if you want to build on that or achieve it, you have to know what you're working towards first.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the things that typically we get caught up with is the word more. And it's like, when I have more house, when I have more money, when I have more friends, when I have more of this, then I'll be wealthy. And the problem with more is that it never stops. And that kind of leads us into the first, like the pillar of being wealthy is contentment, is knowing what is enough.
Yeah.
What is that amount, that feeling? Because it really is a feeling that we're always chasing after. Money is just, you want money to feel a certain way. You want to feel safe. You want to feel abundant. You want to feel certain things. So what is that feeling that you're trying to go with? And knowing contentment, having that way of being that where you're like, this is enough, I'm good with this. That is a place of wealth that I don't think a lot of us really ever expect to actually get to. Because if you're going down the road of more, you'll never get to contentment because you're never happy. You just want more.
Yeah. When I think about contentment, I often think about like our grandparents' generation, people who grew up as like children of the Great Depression. And the fact that I know so many people maybe in their 70s who are still in the same house, right? They have very frugal habits and they do nice things and they enjoy their lives, but they have this level of contentment of knowing like, I really don't need that thing. Where you contrast that to my generation of millennials, there is a lot more house hopping, a lot more car upgrading, a lot. There's just a lot. We have an abundance of things. We're the wealthiest people in the world, you know, globally in North America. We have just by the sheer fact that we have clean drinking water and places to live make us wealthier than the vast majority of the world. And yet we're taught by society, by marketing, to want more, to need more, and that the reason we feel unfulfilled is because we don't have this thing. And so if you as a person can somehow get through all of that and kind of take on, you know, our grandparents' sort of view of the world of contentment and be happy with what you have, which is already so much, wanting less is like a surefire way to build wealth, because the less you want, the less stuff you buy.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you always want more to feel enough, you're always going to be broke, no matter how much money you have, because it's just it's a vicious, endless cycle. And I think part of that, I love the grandparents' analogy, just because it's so true. I mean, back then, you were grateful for what you had, and you weren't comparing yourself to everybody else, because it was a different society at that point, right? There wasn't you know, like if you go through a 90s neighborhood, the houses are very identical because and they're smaller and everything else. And so I think when it comes to contentment, is like having that daily gratitude for what you have. And then just like you said, like not wanting as much, being happy with what you have, and just being content is that pillar of wealth that you can start right now. You can look at what you have, and you have so much to be grateful for. It's just a matter, it's a perspective shift, really.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's a hard balance, because on one hand, we teach people, like, you know, the world is your oyster, right? If you want something, your feelings are valid and all of that. But I think what we're trying to say is that if you're somebody who finds that you want things a lot, that it could be an internal thing that you're trying to fill, and it might be time to, you know, look within. There is a balance of contentment and then treating yourself every now and then. I just think that in our culture today, it's like treat all day, every day. It's just kind of the general vibe. And so contentment is a great thing.
I agree. I think if you're in that cycle of thinking the next thing will make you happy, then it never ends. And I think giving yourself permission to kind of look at it and go, why do I need the next thing? Why is my default to go on to Amazon or whatever site to shop when I have a moment of solitude in my day? I think the next thing when it comes to wealth is, the second thing is just having clarity of what wealth means to you. You write it down. What is wealth? Is it a 2,000 square foot home on, you know, set in a mountainside village, or a condo downtown in New York? Is it a palace? You need to know and be able to clearly, succinctly define what wealth is to you, because until you do that, you'll never arrive there. It's just always going to be a horizon that you chase.
I agree. And so those are the first two things: defining what it means to you, working to be happy with what you have. It's the balance: being happy with what you have while pursuing some things that you want. And how do we get there, Andrew? Because I know what I have. That was fun. We got to dream. We got to write our goals down. We got to think about how lucky we were and full of gratitude. And now what?
And now we get to do the real work, as we call it.
Yeah.
And we need to look at our living expenses, our cash flow of everything. And if you are making less than what you spend, you're going to be stressed out. You're never going to be wealthy that way. So part of a real granular thing is to look at your cash flow and go, okay, I make $5,000 a month and I spend $2,000 a month. Okay, I know how I can get wealthy. I know I've got my lifestyle under control. But the reality is that most of us are living paycheck to paycheck. Most of us have credit card debt, and we're making that proverbial $5,000 a month and we're spending $6,000. And that is causing stress, and it's causing anxiety, and it's causing all sorts of negative emotions inside of us. So the first thing we have to do is to get our expenses under control. You're never going to be wealthy. You can make $1 million or $1 billion, but if your default is to spend more than what you earn and not look at your money, you're never going to have that wealth that you crave.
Yeah. And if you've heard the term cash flow and you're like, that sounds like, you know, money terms, like, you know, it kind of makes sense. Like, what the heck is that? It's literally the amount of money you have flowing in and the amount of money you have flowing out. So, you know, I'll often tell my kids, you know, they're like, can we do this? Can we do that? And I'll say, like, I'll have to check my cash flow. And I keep track of what I spend every day. What bills are coming out? What bills are coming in? I have just a really simple Excel spreadsheet, although there are numerous apps and lots of ways that you can track your cash flow. There are lots of complicated ways you can budget, but Andrew and I, we do this 5-minute budget system where we know what the bank account starts with at every month. And I know the points in the month where money is flowing in for paychecks. And I know the points of the month where money is flowing out. And I know that at the end of the month, I got to start the next month with the same amount. If I go over it, then I won't be able to make the bills for the next month. It's simple math. The hard part is the mental work that goes on behind it. The discipline, the sorry, we can't do that. Sorry, we got to make the frozen pizza, not order Domino's because of cash flow things. These are the things that are challenging, but it's also the reason why you hear stories about, oh, like this school teacher retired and donated millions to the library, and then very wealthy people, you know, I meant pass away, like pass away and donate all this money to the library. And then wealthy people pass away and you realize they're millions of dollars in debt, you know, but they have all these assets that look fancy. So things are not always what they seem. Really getting granular on your individual cash flow and creating space. I'm super big on creating space. You can get the technical term as like your margins or whatever. You just got to have some space, y'all. You just got to have some breathing space. Too tight, too much paycheck to paycheck, and it is so stressful. It's really hard to create wealth without space. You got to create the cash flow space and then take the space and save and invest it.
That's right. Well, and that leads us to the next one, which is investing. So being wealthy can be a lot of different things, but once you have that margin, that space where you are actually keeping more than you spend every month, what do you do with that money? And that question is about 1,000-day-long podcast, so we're not going to get into everything with it, but there are a lot of different options. Some people just put it in a savings account and they live off the interest. Other people get rental properties. Other people invest in hard assets like gold and art and stuff like that. I personally invest in stock dividends, stocks that give dividends, which is just a completely different topic. A lot of people like to have rental properties, though. That seems to be a big one for a lot of people. But you need to find a place to start putting that money that is going to generate you more money while you aren't working. And that's a really big thing to start doing. And if you don't know anything about it, don't worry. Nobody was born knowing anything about investing. It's something that we all learn about one way or another. There's people that can help you with that. Lots of online communities for investing in the thing that you want to invest in. And it can be really, really simple if financial freedom, which is having more passive income than you have expenses, if that's one of your goals, that is another thing that you can move towards. But again, it's defining what you want it to be.
Yeah, I love that. And one of my big passions in life is to encourage more women to invest and to build financial freedom, because for the longest time, investing was sort of this like old boys club, you know, like Wall Street bros, and, you know, very intentionally difficult language, difficult to tap into. And I think because of that, and because of the news is so sensationalized, like, oh, stocks are dropping and this is happening and that's happening. And it makes people very afraid to put their hard earned money in investments. And so one of the things I encourage women especially to do is to find somebody, an advisor, a financial educator, even if it's on YouTube or Instagram, like somebody who looks like you, who is your age, who's maybe like 5 to 10 years ahead of you in the journey, so that who breaks it down into terms that are easy to understand. Because the truth is that there are some people who make very risky investments, and yeah, they see all their money drop, and that's like all you hear about on the news. But then there's like some really boring ways to do it that are really straightforward, which is what I do. It's just index fund investing, if you want to Google it, which is the approach that I take. And it's really straightforward and simple. Like once you get the basics, and it's something that anybody can do. Like you don't even have to be good at math or track anything or do anything. It's like super, super simple. And so for women tend to be more conservative investors. They like the feeling of safety. And so, excuse me, I just want to encourage anybody listening that if that word brought up fear and like, I don't know how to do that, I just want to let you know that there was a time I didn't know how to do it either. And then somehow I wrote a money book with a chapter on beginning investing. And so if I can learn it as someone who went to school as a history major, then anybody listening can learn the basics of how to make your money work for you. And just want to encourage that, because it's really the biggest wealth building tool you have is the money that you do put into investments, whatever you choose. And I want to encourage people that, yeah, they will go up and down, but we're just talking about like a long-term thing, like kind of building wealth for your later years.
Yeah. And I agree with you that it is a long-term thing. And to just start, even if it's just with like $10 to get used to the money going up and down, it's a good way to do it. Really what investing is, it's planting seeds today so that you can reap the benefits down the road. And your future self, your five-year you is going to thank you for doing those things when you start to build wealth. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's like a snowball. It starts out really small and it feels like it's not getting anywhere, but suddenly you kind of get it to a top of the hill and then you just give it a little push and it perpetuates itself as it goes along. And that's really important to know in the beginning because it doesn't feel substantial when you start, but it actually is quite substantial. And that habit that you develop with investing is so crucial to your financial success, to your wealth, to feeling wealthy. And one of the things I talk about with my kids a lot, with everybody is, you know, you need to start thinking about the future and what you're going to do with that money, because the more you start thinking about it now, the less scary it is down the road. So pick up a book of investing. There's a million out there. The one I always kind of refer people to is The Wealthy Barber, only because it's a narrative. It's not an actual how-to. It's like a story around wealth building and how everybody can do it. And it doesn't matter how you start with it, just that you know there are multiple ways of starting.
I like that. And I think it's a really good piece of advice. And I like that book too as a starting point. All right, Andrew. We chose five ways to build wealth. What's the last one?
I think the last one, and this one has become more important to me as time has gone on, but it's connection. It's who are you doing life with? I remember thinking like when I was a kid, and I don't know, this is how weird my mind has always been, I guess, but I thought like, oh, I just want to be rich and not have to ever work again, which was probably day two of my first job. And I remember, but then the thought came in as like, well, what are you going to do with your time if everybody else you know is working? You know, like if everybody I want to spend my time with is working, what am I going to do? So connection is really such an important part of your wealth foundation. It is who are you spending your time with? Who are you spending your days with? Time is finite for all of us, and getting to choose who you spend it with and the type of people you want to be with are all probably the most important part of this, because, you know, I know you and I, we spend a lot of time together. We spend time with the kids and et cetera. But I think knowing who you want to spend that time with is going to be a great motivator for you to feel wealthier in the moment. Because it's not about having gold bars getting brought to you by some sort of butler, you know, or anything like that. It is knowing that when you have that moment of connection with somebody, that's real wealth. That is a wealth that you can't buy. You truly cannot buy that. And yeah, so I think connection is that last one. What do you think about that? Or do you disagree?
I definitely agree. I mean, I think your health is wealth. You can be the richest person in the world with poor health and like, what's it for? And so I think that definitely who you spend your time with. And if you're listening to this and you don't have a partner yet, finding a partner in life who has similar goals to you is also extremely important. A similar way of handling money, similar ideas of what wealthy is, because we all grow up with different ideas of what it is. Then we all adapt our own viewpoints. And, you know, one of the things we said is defining what it means to you. It's, you get to your goals a lot faster when you have an accountability partner, when you have someone working towards the same goals. If you're working in opposite directions and you're with somebody who like loves gambling, you know, or something, I don't know, it's an extreme example, but it's really hard to work on contentment and create the cash flow space and all of those things to reach your goals. It's a lot more fun when you can like nerd out and be like, hey, I learned this thing about investing. I ask Andrew questions all the time because he's a CPA. I'm like, oh, I read this thing. And I was like so proud of myself because I know he likes dividend funds. And I read an article about one. He was like, actually, that was a good one. I was like, really? Thank you. You know, and like we just kind of talk about it a little bit. I'm like, well, it says it's a good one, but I wouldn't buy it because of this. And I don't know. It just kind of adds a different dynamic to things when you have somebody to bounce ideas off of and someone cheering you on along the way. A big part of that though is what's the point of building towards wealth if you're unhealthy and overindulging in all the different ways. So we try to, the two of us try to really embody the contentment in all areas of life.
Yeah, it's really important. And I think if you can wake up in the morning and just be grateful for the life that you have, whether it's never going to be exactly where you want it, because that's growth. Growth is always wanting to evolve, not necessarily wanting more, but to evolve. And I think when you know that you have it good with the people around you, that's such a valuable one. Like it's really become an important thing. Life is a group sport. And we need to make sure that we're playing with the people we want to play with that are helping us grow, that support us, that inspire us. And when you have those people in your life, it just makes everything so much easier. It really does. It's really important that you have, that you surround yourself with good people.
I love that. It's great. I'm excited to share my glimmer today.
All right. Well, let's get into it. What's your glimmer, Kat?
I'm going to have lunch with my son. I'm so excited. Aww,
yeah. I'm going to have lunch with my daughter. So there we go. Dual glimmers.
If you're a parent of more than one kid, you know, it's like hard to get one-on-one time. And like our little ones are twins. And so they just like, they have a lot of the same friends and they do a lot of the same things. So like, you know, they're just the same age and the same grade. And so they're always together. And so I love having one-on-one time with both of them. And I've had one-on-one time with our youngest before too. She just likes to go to Ulta and tool around shop. But I'm looking forward to, we're going to get some, he'll probably have pizza.
Nice.
Where are you going?
I've been thinking about this. I think we are going to go to the Nut-Free Bakery. And it's like a little cafe.
Nice.
And I think we're going to go get some treats and some coffee and just go for a drive and have some singing in the car that we always like to do. And my daughter's an amazing singer, but I love those moments. These are the moments that I live for. And you know, it's kind of funny that we're talking about wealth and like the thing that has just lit us up and that we have so much gratitude for is who we're about to go spend time with in that moment. And
those babies,
can't put a price on
babies.
That. Yeah, exactly.
The grown babies. Yeah, it's true. And, having the presence of mind and the health to spend time with them and the money to buy treats and lunch, which are little extras in this world, is a lot to be grateful for. And so we encourage all of you listening today to try to find the little glimmers in your day. And if you have any questions about anything, you can always email us at hello@5yearu.com.
Yeah. And before we go, I just want to say, if you kind of got to this episode and you're like, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be, your challenge today then is to just write down what wealth means to you. And it might be a little harder in the beginning, but once you can get clear on that, you're going to find that you move towards it a lot faster. So thank you again for listening, and we will see you next time.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.